Everyone else, take your Bibles. I'm going to have you go to the book of Psalms with me. Psalms 127 this morning. Now, we are here this morning. The purpose of our message is the dedication of, it was going to be three. It will be in a couple more weeks. We'll have the little Sephardi girls that will dedicate them to the Lord. But this morning then will be for the Schwerins and for Annalise, Myra, their little girl. And the dedication of a child to God. Now, but as we begin, I want all of us, not just for the sake of any visitor that might be here, but I want all of us to understand that there is a difference between dedicating your child to God and what many times churches will do as far as baptizing a child. The Bible doesn't teach infant baptism anywhere in Scripture. We don't baptize children. The only time that we will baptize is when someone gives a very clear testimony of salvation, having received Christ as their Savior. By the way, that is biblical in nature. It's not just something that our church decided to do. We follow Scripture when it comes to baptism. But as far as dedicating our children to the Lord, I want us to understand, as I mentioned just a few moments ago during our announcements, it is as much dedicating mom and dad to the Lord as it is dedicating the child to the Lord. So this morning, our message is for everyone. I will ask, of course, Brother and Mrs. Schwerin. I don't know where Brother Schwerin went. I don't see him anywhere. Is he going to be in the auditorium here this morning? I hope so. He better be. If not, I'm going to ask someone to go find him and trade places with whatever it is he might be doing. If he's security guard or something this morning. So I want him to make sure that he's in here. He's coming. All right. There we go. Very good. Now, usually I ask the parents to come up on the front row, but I'll not do that. You have your parents here with you, Brother Mike. But I would love for you to have someone take his place. I want him to be sitting next to his wife if I could. So he's kind of acting as head usher here this morning. I could have one of the men back there. Go to Psalm 127 if you would. Psalm 127. And again, I am asking in particular Brother and Mrs. Schwerin to pay attention, but don't disregard, please, what I'm going to say, because it is for everyone. All of us need to see and understand the Bible this morning. Psalm 127. We're going to read all five verses here. The Bible says in verse number one, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." This morning, a simple title. We have used it before when we dedicate our children. Giving your children back to God. Giving your children back to God. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do ask this morning that you would be with the message. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be involved in the life of Brother Mrs. Schwerin, Lord, and Annalise. Dear God, I pray that as their pastor, as I have prayed many times before, I would be the pastor that they need. Lord, I pray that I would be the pastor that little Annalise needs and that Brother Mike and Miss Beverly need, dear Lord. But dear God, I pray that we would see that you are always the God that we need. I thank you for salvation that Jesus Christ gives us. Lord, the salvation that every individual needs to understand in their lives. Dear God, I pray that this morning as we look at the life of a child, as we look at the responsibility of the parents, dear Lord, and how the Bible ties into it so clearly, dear God, I pray that you would be with any person here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Lord, if there is even one, if they say, "I don't know where I would spend eternity, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, or if I would go to hell," Lord, I pray that before they leave today, they would understand that they can know. So Lord, bless our time, dear God. We ask all of it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The pregnancy and all of the changes. If you're the husband, there were changes that you weren't quite ready for. Thermostat was never set right. It was always too hot or always too cold. And the blankets were off or the blankets were on. And she wanted this or she didn't want that. And this made her sick. It's just smelling it. Man, I remember I used to eat these little bitty pizzas or our youth group. We sold these pizzas for a time as a fundraiser for a youth conference. And I loved those little pizzas. And boy, during that time, for whatever reason, they just made my wife's stomach turn. She couldn't stand the smell of them. But if I remember right, she loved the smell of Taco Bell. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That would have been bad if it hadn't been for that. But you think back to the first few weeks of your little boy or your little girl's life, and all of the nervousness, your excitement. Oh, and of course, this morning, take me down just a little bit here. It's a little loud. The excitement that we had, we can look back now and we can see the excitement that it was. As I sat upstairs and I got a text message one night from Brother Swearin, and he said, "Pastor, pray harder." I'm thinking, you've been watching me? And I said, what's going on? And several minutes went by and I didn't get anything. And then I got a text I should have brought, I forget what it was, something about there's been a complication. And I forget what all was done. And I made a phone call, and Brother Mike is on the phone, and he's talking about there were problems, and Miss Bev had some seizures, and they rushed her out to have an emergency cesarean section, and he was a wreck, and now I become being a wreck. And I said, I'll be there. And I jumped in my car. I get up to the hospital as quickly as I can. And I'm like, I don't even know where to go. I ask, where's the maternity ward? Second floor. I get off the elevator. I'm looking around going, where do I go? And I see Mike standing there. Can I recall him like this, you know? Like, what are you doing? And I said, what's going on? And by that time, I'd missed the whole surgery. Annalise had been born, little girl, everything was well, and we began, of course, praying for Miss Beverly. Praise the Lord, everything was well with her, and boy, what a blessing that was. I mean, that what an answer to prayer. A beautiful, beautiful little girl. And the nerves, I'm sure, that set in. I know Brother Mike was nervous because I was there. You know, I'm his pastor. And the nurse comes in and she says, "Now listen, when we bring your wife in, just you can be in the room." And Mike said, "All right." And so they bring Beverly in, and she gets situated, and she doesn't remember me at all being there. I can't believe. And pretty much as soon as she gets settled, Brother Mike turns to me, sticks his hand out, and says, "Thanks for coming, Pastor." In other words, goodbye. Like, okay. I have fulfilled my role. Oh, but the grace Brother Roy sang about. There will be new grace I've not needed before. Have any of you as parents, now, Brother, Mrs. Schwerin, I'm wanting to help you a little bit. Have any of you as parents ever made a mistake in parenting? Let me see your hands. Well, amen. Several of us have. Absolutely. Anything that you wish you could go back and you could redo? Yeah, amen. How many of you think, man, I could wish, you know, the message giving your children back to God, you're thinking to yourself, wow, I didn't know you'd take them. That was a, no. You better not raise your hand at that. Oh, but there will be new grace. There will be new grace I've not needed before. You see, the truth of the matter is, now listen, for the young people that we have in here, and all of us went through the stage at one point where we thought mom and dad had their head screwed on halfway, that they couldn't make a good decision if their life depended on it. Can you not see that I need that toy right now? Can you not understand that I need that candy bar? My life is dependent upon it. How dare you tell me no? You know, that's it. That's the kind of thing that goes through the life or the mind of a, you know, 17, 18-year-old. And I've got to have it. I need this. You don't understand. No, my life is going to be destroyed if you don't see it my way. Oh, but sometimes we see it the right way. Sometimes, unfortunately, we see it the wrong way. I'm grateful for the grace that we have from God. You see, yesterday I had an opportunity to speak with a dear lady. And I said, God, we are made in the image of God. Are we not? Absolutely. We're made in God's image. You know, God didn't just stop with the design of mankind in His image. I believe everything about us were made in His image. Now, He has abilities and attributes that I will never be able to get. He has some, of course, that the Bible commands me that I'm supposed to follow.
we're learning about them in Sunday school. But there are certain character traits about God that I'm not omniscient. I'm not all-knowing. I'm little-nescient, all right? I'm not omnipresent. At times, as a dad, especially a mom or a dad of more than one, especially more than one at a time, you would wish that you could be in more than one place at any one given time. I would like to be there, but I have to be here. You see, I don't have that ability. Family. God ordained the family. Amen. God ordained the family. The Bible gives us very clear teaching of mom and dad and the child and the responsibilities and the roles of each. It's not up to the whim of however we feel. God has given us some very clearly defined roles, very clearly defined submission, very clearly defined obedience. God has spelled it out for us so that we don't have to raise the hood on our family and look at the engine and say, I have absolutely no idea where even to begin. No, God gave us an owner's manual. He gave us some instructions so that we would know how our family is to operate. Amen. Because when we begin thinking about, all right, as a dad, as parents, I made some decisions that I would like to make those over. And then we come to the child that begins to make their own decision, and we realize that the child makes some decisions that they would like to do over as well. I'm sure all of us, as children, grown or not, we look back on our lives and we think, wow, if I could make a better decision there. At that turning point in my life, what an impact it made on my life. It might be a scar. It might be a scar on your life. It might be a bright spot in your life that you say, had I made a different decision, oh, would my life be different than it is now? But you see, I'm thankful that we have the grace. Oh, Brother Roy, what a great song. I'm thankful that we have new grace. You see, I needed God's grace when I got saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The only way that I could get saved is because God had the grace to forgive me of my sin. If it weren't for God's grace, I would still be on my way to hell. I told the individual that I was speaking to yesterday, as the pastor of Coastal Light Baptist Church, on this very day, at 11:38, on the 26th of April 2015, I stand before you a man deserving to go to hell. I don't deserve to go to heaven. There's nothing that I've ever done that God would look at me and say, you did well. Congratulations, you have finished your course and enter thou into the joy of the Lord because you did such a good job. I promise you, there is nothing that God would look favorably upon my life that He would say, you have done well, worthy now of heaven. Oh, I want God to say that I have done well. But my entrance into heaven will never be determined by my life here. Jesus Christ died on a cross for my sin and for yours. He died so that we could trust Christ as our Savior, so that we could be born again. Oh, you see those two words, born and again. For 4,000 years of recorded human history, the two words, born and again, are never put together in the same sentence side by side. Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. And so with the advent of Christ, with the advent of the death, burial, and resurrection, we now realize what Jesus meant as far as being born again. We see what He was telling Nicodemus in John 3, that I was born once of the water. I was born once as a child. That water birth that gave me life. I took my first breath. But then God says, now you need to be born again. You need to be born spiritually. Otherwise, we have no hope of heaven. If I want to get to heaven, it will come only through Jesus Christ, through His shed blood. So we think about the family. We are now a child of God. He is our Father, our Heavenly Father. Boy, I praise the Lord for that. And there are mistakes that I make. Now, here again, here's where the similarities, they disappear. As a parent, I make mistakes and think, oh, I would that I could do that over. Oh, that I could make a better choice. God has never gone through that. God never made a decision that He said, oh, wrong decision. Oh, that I could redo that. No, God in His perfection never made a mistake. And I thank the Lord for it. Amen. But we look at these verses here.
We see these verses. We see that there is a real gift from God. As we see that verse number 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. His reward. Oh, what a reward we have. I'm grateful for that reward. Children are certainly a reward from God. Oh, I understand every mom, as she's going through the jaws of death, as she is delivering that child, there may be the panic, there may be the angry words, there may be the get out of my face comments that are made to your husband, but it's a gift of God. Oh, you get through all of that, and God gives us the ability to forget. And oh, we look at that little girl, we look at that little boy, we say, Lord, thank you for this gift. What a wonderful reward that you have given to me. You see, so many people use the word reward or use the thought of reward in the wrong way. They look at heaven as being a reward. No, heaven isn't my reward. God will give us different rewards here. A child is one of them. But heaven is not going to be a reward. Heaven is a literal gift from God. And I'm thankful for that. But we see, and we look at biblical examples of the children and mankind's willingness to bring them to the altar and to give them back to God. We have different examples of parents in the Bible. There's the classic example, of course, of Hannah that brings her son Samuel, the son for whom she had prayed for so long, and she presented him to God and handing young Samuel over to Eli the priest. And in 1 Samuel she says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me the petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. She gives him back to God. We remember Joseph and Mary as they brought the infant child Jesus into the temple eight days following his birth for the circumcision. They were giving him back to God. In Luke chapter 2 verse 22 it says, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So we see the examples in the Bible, but we're going to turn to one in just a moment. We see the understanding that we are to bring our children back to God. We're to willingly turn our children back over to God. Now, He allows us to make the decisions for them when they're small. You know, right now, Annalise, and Chloe and Abigail, their decision-making process is quite limited. You know, I guess they can decide, man, my tummy doesn't feel right. Maybe if I let mom know about it, I'll get something to eat. And they realize, man, that worked. Worked out pretty well. And so maybe I'll try that again. And maybe, something doesn't feel right down there, my diaper. Maybe I better let mom know about it. Wow, what's going on? But then children, they learn the art of lying. You ever notice that? Children, they learn how to lie because they start, wah, and think, uh-oh, they're hungry. Well, I just fed them. They can't be hungry. Well, maybe that diaper needs it. No, I just changed your diaper. What's wrong with you? Nothing. I'm just lying. I want you to pick me up and hold me and give me, you know. I'm just kidding, just kidding. Oh, would you hold me? You pick him up and they go, you know, you lay him back down, wah! Come on. Oh. But the examples that we have in Scripture, the examples that we have in the Bible of giving our children back to God. Turn it over to Genesis chapter 22, if you would. Genesis 22 gives us an unusual example. Genesis 22 gives us an unbelievable example. If you've been around church, you are familiar, I'm sure, with what is going on here. We begin in verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of the young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. When on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? What a prophetical statement we have in verse number 8. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now, as we stop there for a moment, I say that's prophetical because Abraham was speaking to Isaac here. And I don't know whether Abraham understood what he was saying or not, but you see, very prophetical in nature because God did provide himself as a lamb. The sacrifice, the offering that was given for my sin and for yours. Oh, we understand that it goes on through here and they find a ram that's caught in the thicket and they sacrifice that ram. But God said, I will provide myself as a lamb. And he did. We read on here. It gets up to verse number 9. They came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. So we read about this unbelievable request that God had made. We understand that God is simply asking because God did not have Abraham go through it. God was tempting, as we read here in verse number 1. God was wanting to find out if Abraham was willing to give his only son, the son whom he loved. By the way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. You understand, God never asks us to do anything that He has not already been willing to do. So He looks down at Abraham and He says, Abraham, I want you to offer your son, your only son, the one that you love so much, I want you to offer him as a sacrifice to me. And I can only imagine, we can only surmise what might have gone through the mind of Abraham. We don't read anywhere in Scripture that Abraham grumbled or complained, back-talked to God, questioned His authority, said, how could you dare do that? We simply read of his obedience to the Lord. We don't read anywhere in the Bible about what Isaac might have been thinking. Well, we read about where he says, Dad, I see the wood. We've got the wood. You've got the fire. We're ready here at the altar, but I don't see the lamb. Where's the lamb? And he says, well, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And I can imagine Isaac's thinking, oh, okay. He's looking around. His dad's looking at him. He looks up at his dad. His dad says, Isaac, I want you to get on the altar. Are you the other Isaac are you talking about? Or did I have a twin that I didn't know about? You want me to get on the altar? Now, we don't read about Isaac's disobedience. In fact, when we look at it here, it says, they came to the place, verse number 9, which God had told him of. Abraham built there an altar, laid the wood on the altar, bound Isaac his son, and laid him upon the altar of the wood. We don't read anywhere where Isaac argued, fought back. Abraham didn't have to tase him. Abraham bound him up, put him on the altar, and was ready to sacrifice him in obedience to the Lord. You know what I find wonderful is God stopped him before he could go through with it. You see, God's not asking that we sacrifice our children in that manner. God simply wants to know, how willing are we to be obedient to his call? How willing are we to be obedient? And you see, we can translate that into so many different areas of our lives. Are we willing to put our desire on the altar before God and say, Lord, you want this? You can have it. I don't need it. Abraham was willing to do this, and it's such a perfect example that literally and irrevocably, Abraham was willing to give Isaac back to God. You see, Abraham loved Isaac. In verse number 2, it says, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Isaac had been a miracle baby. He was born when Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100 years old. She had prayed. She had prayed. And now she had a baby. Oh, you see, you try to put yourself in Abraham's place.
It would be an unbelievably pain. It would have been unbelievably painful for Abraham to strap his son down to that altar, to take the stack of wood, to take the fire, and raise his knife ready to sacrifice at the Lord's will. I've asked myself many times, could I do that? Could I do that? I admire Abraham. I don't know if I could have gone through with as far as what Abraham did. I don't know if I could do it. But I'm thankful for the example that we have that we can aspire to be like. God's never going to ask you to do that with your child. He didn't even have Abraham follow through. But God does ask us to say, Lord, my child is yours. You see, the importance of a dedication of a baby to the Lord is being willing to say as mom and dad, I will give my children to you, Lord, to do with what you want. When we do that and we understand the sovereignty of God, we realize that God is not going to try to, He's not going to be mean to them. He's not going to have my children do something that is unbiblical. He's not going to ruin their life. I often wonder if people think to themselves, well, if I give my life to God, He's just going to ruin it. He's going to make a mess of it. No. In fact, contrary, we make a mess of our lives. And when we finally decide to give our life back to God, He straightens it out for us.
Amen.
There are going to be scars in our lives that we'll deal with all the rest of our lives. But God can deal with things that I could never deal with. He deals with my children in ways that I could never deal with my children. He has a plan for my child's life far more than I would ever have for my own children. So we give our children back to God. But we understand there are some things that I want us to see from a biblical perspective about giving our children back to God. First of all, if you're going to write notes, write it down. Giving your child to God is a confirmation of your love for God. Now, I said a few moments ago, that a baby dedication is just as much. This morning, it's just going to be little Annalise. So, Brother Mike, Miss Beverly, it's as much giving yourselves to God as it is your willingness to give Annalise to God. You see, when Abraham was willing to give of his son Isaac, it wasn't a test of Isaac. It was a test of Abraham. Isaac was just the tool that God had chosen to use. God wanted to find out if Abraham was willing. We see that Isaac was willing, but we also learn that Abraham was willing. And so we look at our willingness to give back to God our children. And when we do so, we are saying, I am confirming my love for God. The first thing that you're saying when you give your child back to the Lord is simply that you love God. Now listen, you love God more than you love that child. Now, I promise you this, the day that we live, that kind of teaching and preaching doesn't go over real well. For a preacher to say that you're supposed to love God more than you love your own children, why, that's what... No. The Bible teaches, let me read to you out of Matthew chapter 10. It says, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And that he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to do something detrimental to my child's life. That doesn't mean that I'm going to strap a bomb to them in my love for God and have them explode themselves in a market that might kill other people. The God that I serve, the God that is in this Bible, that's not the kind of God that we have.
Amen.
That's not the kind of God that we serve. He is trying to get our attention to the point where we understand that God has more of a plan for my children than I could ever come up with. And so if I love God more than I love my children, then I will let God do what He needs to with my children. I will let my child be a missionary and go all the way over to some foreign field that I may not see for years on end. Why? Because I love God and He has a plan for their life far greater than anything I'll ever have. I love God's plan for my children more than I love my plan. Oh, I could come up with a plan, but I am confirming God's love, or I'm sorry, I'm confirming my love for God when I give them back. I am also, when I give my child, when you give your child back to God, it's a clarification of ownership. When you give your child back to God, you're openly declaring that the child is a gift from God. He does not really belong to you. The child belongs to God. You have the privilege to love and to train the child, but the child is truly God's.
Amen.
The child is God's. You see, it's God's creation. Yesterday, again, I had a great opportunity as I was speaking with this individual. I made this statement. I said, have you ever heard the statement that we're all the children of God? She said, well, yes, of course. I said, well, the Bible doesn't say that anywhere. In fact, that is absolutely contrary to what the Bible says. She looked at me. I said, the Bible says that that to as many as receive Him, talking about Jesus, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. If I can become something, then that means before I became it, I wasn't it. Brother Mike, let's see. Annalise was born March 3rd. I think I thought it was in February. March 3rd. So on March... well, let's see. Let's go back a year ago, because someone could say, well, of course he was a daddy on March 2nd. Let's go March 3rd, 2014. Were you a daddy? No. Did you become a daddy March 3rd of 2015? Yes. That's when birth. Yeah. I understand he became a daddy at conception, because that's when life began. Amen?
Amen.
But you see, he became something. You became, when you became a daddy or a mama, you became that. You weren't before the first child. You weren't a parent. You became. If I can become a child, that means before the day that I got saved, I wasn't a child of God. Jesus looked at the Pharisees and said, ye are of your father the devil.
Amen.
So, our ownership of my child, when I give them back to God, It is a clarification of the ownership that God is the owner of the child. In Psalm 127:3, we read, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. We better be careful how we treat and how we care for God's property. Listen, now God did not authorize the state to raise children. Amen? God did not authorize the government to raise our children. God did not authorize daycare to raise our children. By the way, God did not authorize the church to raise our children. God authorized mom and dad to raise children. I am thankful that as a church, we get to be involved. I am thankful that as a pastor, I get to be involved. But God did not give me the authority to raise little Annalise. God gave me the authority to raise my children. He gave you authority to raise your children. But the clarification that we make when we give our children is the clarification of ownership. We give them back to God. Giving our children to God is a commitment to raise your children God's way. Here in a few moments, I'm going to ask Brother Mike and Miss Beverly a series of questions about their willingness to commit themselves to raising the child, Annalise, in God's way. In Ephesians 6, verse number 4, it says, and fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. To give our child back to God is not just a ceremony. It's a commitment. There's nothing special, just like baptism. When I baptize someone, there's nothing spooky. There's nothing spiritual. There's nothing special. It's obedience to God to be baptized. I don't get more saved when I'm baptized. I don't get more clean when I baptize you. And when we dedicate our children to God, we're doing so because we say, all right, I am committing myself to raise my children God's way. It's far more than just a ceremony. It's a commitment. It's a commitment that Brother Mike, Miss Beverly, Miss Elizabeth, and if Brother Joey were here, I'd be saying the same to him. It's a commitment to say that I am going to be a godly parent. Parent dedication, just as much as child dedication. It requires getting right with God. I will be a godly parent. I will teach God, this child about Christ. They need to be saved. I will keep this child in church. Committing to the Lord, I will love this child, even if loving them means disciplining them and letting God discipline you at times. Committing that I will pray for this child. Committing that I will train this child. Committing that I will stay married for this child. Boy, praise the Lord. There are far other reasons, many other reasons to stay married as well. But that's a great one. Committing that I will make my home a holy place. Committing that I will put away worldliness. Committing that I will live a righteous life in front of my children. That's what we say when we give our children back to God. It's one of commitment. It's a commitment to raise my children, not just a magical ceremony. You see, this ceremony means nothing if you're not willing, Brother Mike, Miss Beverly. It means nothing if you're not willing to make a lifelong, sincere commitment to raise Annalise in God's way. It won't mean anything, Miss Elizabeth, if you and Brother Joey have not already decided that we will dedicate our lives, we will commit ourselves to raise these girls and Noah in God's way. It's just like Joshua, as he told the children of Israel, as they settled into their new home in the promised land. He said, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It's a commitment. It's a commitment. The day that you said, "I do," the day that you got married, and you looked and you said, "I do," or as we talked with Brother Mike and Miss Bev, their preacher said, "No, you say, 'I will,' not 'I do.'" Maybe you said, "I will," maybe you said, "I do." Whatever it was that you said, when you said that, it was a commitment to the other. "I'm committed to you for the rest of my life. I'm committed to you in marriage for the rest of my life." And you see, when I have a child that I commit to God, it's going to be a lifelong commitment. "All right, Lord, this child is yours. I am committing that I am going to raise my children in a godly fashion. I want my children, I want my family to turn out right. So, as a parent, I'm going to have to begin by leading them right. I can't expect my children to turn out right if I am not willing to show them what right is." Oh, it is a confirmation of our love for God. It's a clarification of ownership. It's a commitment to raise our children in God's way. And it's the claiming of God's plan and promise of the life for the child. In Genesis 22, we read in verse number 15, it says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham this out of heaven the second time, and said, 'By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply the seed. Thy seed is the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice.'" You see, it's a claiming of God's promise for your child. Could you imagine what would have happened if Abraham had not been willing to be obedient in offering his son Isaac back to God? God says, "Abraham, I want you to be obedient to me." Abraham says, "Yes, sir, what do you need me to do?" "I need you to sacrifice your son." "I understand, sir." "It'll happen right away." They go up Mount Moriah. He says, "You men stay here. Isaac and I'll go on." They get to the top. He has the wood. He has the fire. He now puts Isaac on the altar, raises his knife, and God stops him. God says, "You were obedient. Oh, listen, through your seed, Isaac, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed because of it." And we see still to this day that God has stayed true to His promise. What if Abraham had said no? What if Abraham said, "Lord, you're asking a hard thing. I can't do that." "What's my request?" "Can't do it. You're going to have to come up with a different plan." "I don't know what." I'm glad we don't have to worry about that. I'm glad that Abraham was willing. But what about you and your child? What if you're not willing to dedicate your child back to God? What blessings will be missed in their life if we say, "No, I'm going to raise my children the way I think is best, the way that I think is right, And even if God works on their heart, see, I've known of individuals who say, no, I'll never let my child be a missionary. I'll never let my child be a pastor. I don't want my child to go in the ministry. I want them to do something, make a lot of money and be popular. Well, what about what God's plan is? Oh, that we would see what it means to give our children back to God. It is that confirming. It is clarifying. It is committing. And it is claiming. Here in a few moments, let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have an invitation right here in just a couple of moments. And after that, we're going to have the dedication of little Annalise. I beg you, would you please stay around for just a few more moments because it's part of the service. But I need to draw this part to a close because I need to ask a question about you being a child of God. Amen. The whole message is about children this morning and giving our children back to God. But could you answer the question very clearly? Are you born again? Could you answer the question, if you died today, if this were your last day on earth, if you pulled out onto Highway 61 and God forbid something happened and you were in an accident and your life ceased this very afternoon, would you spend eternity in heaven or would you spend eternity in hell? Understand, according to Scripture, that's the only two choices. There's either heaven or hell. You will not get an option of something else. And you don't get to make your mind up after you've passed away.
Amen.
God says it's by faith that you'll be saved. So let me ask you this morning, do you know for sure? Or would you be willing to let someone take a Bible and show you how that you can become a child of God? Because if you're not saved, I'll tell you now, you're not a child of God, regardless of what population might tell you. You only become a child of God the day that you trust Christ as your Savior. He died for your sin. He died so that you could be born again, as He told Nicodemus. Oh, would you be willing, if you're not, would you be willing to let someone take a Bible and show you? Perhaps this morning you have children, and perhaps you've never really truly said, Lord, my children are yours. I want them to be yours. I want you to guide their life. And Lord, whatever you have as a plan for their life, I want to be submitted to it. Perhaps that's the decision that you need to make this morning. Perhaps you need to say, Lord, my very life itself needs to be committed to you. And I'll let you, Lord, I'll give you the ownership. I'll make it very clear to you. I'll let you lead me and guide me. Annalise isn't going to let her. She can't do that yet. She'll grow to that point. But right now, you can make that decision. I'll let God guide my life. I'll let Him give me every turn that I need to make. Oh, would you think about that? I'm going to ask you if you would bow your heads, please. I'm going to have you just remain seated right as you are. Here in a few moments, the piano is going to begin playing. The hymn of invitation is going to be given. I'm going to ask you, do you know for sure that you're saved? Do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven? Hey, is there a doubt in your mind? Let me ask this. Can I ask you, if you know for sure, if you say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I remember the day that I was born again. I remember that day as if it were yesterday. I can take you back to the very place that I got saved. Is that you? Could you slip your hand up all across the auditorium even right now? I remember being saved. I remember asking Jesus into my heart. Boy, thank you for that. You can put your hands down. Maybe you didn't raise your hand because you didn't understand the question. But maybe you didn't raise your hand because you don't know if you're saved. You have no idea where you'll spend eternity. Could I have you listen to me right now if that's you? Here in just a few moments, I could have someone take a Bible and show you very clearly how you could go to heaven. The most important decision you'll ever make in your life is where you'll spend eternity. Is that you this morning? Would you even... Everyone's head is bowed right now. But maybe that's you and you'd even just glance up at me. Let me know, Pastor, I have no idea where I would spend eternity. I have no idea. Is there one here even this morning that you'd say, I don't know, but I would like to know. I would like to know. And dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you've seen here this morning. Lord, we've done everything. Lord, I've done everything that I can. Lord, biblically to convince that we need to be saved. And Lord, then that we need to turn our lives over to you. We need to turn our children to you. Dear God, I pray that you would just use the invitation, Lord. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to quickly ask you to stand to your feet. The piano will begin playing. The altar is for you. The service is not concluded just yet. But this morning, if you need to come to the altar and you need to say, I'll dedicate my children to you, or I will dedicate my own life to you. Oh, would you come this morning? Would you come? Would you let someone show you? Would you let someone show you?